On May the 31st, 1792, a man named William Carey preached what would become one of the most important sermons in the history of Christianity. On that day, 234 years ago, he stood to bring the sermon to an associational meeting of 24 churches in Nottingham, England. The text for his sermon was our text for today, Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thy holy habitations. Spare not. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Carey challenged that small gathering of Christians to begin a missionary society for the purpose of taking the gospel to the parts of the world which had not yet heard of Christ. And from that meeting, a resolution was made and passed, and a worldwide missionary movement began, which has captured the heart of the church even to this day. The words of Isaiah 54 were first addressed to a captive people. Their nation had been conquered, Jerusalem destroyed, God's holy temple violated and in ruins, the Hebrew people dragged off into exile in Babylon. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann speaks of the church today using the metaphor of exile. He says, the church, you and I, are living in a strange land, foreign to our values, foreign to the way we are used to things being. That's what exile was like for the people of Israel. They were God's people, and in the words of the psalmist, trying to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Into their distress, God issued a series of thrilling imperatives through the prophet Isaiah. Awake, awake, put on your strength, shake yourself from the dust, break forth in singing, fear not, enlarge your tent, raise the poles, lengthen the ropes, spread the fabric and strengthen the stakes, drive them deep in the earth, lest the bigger tent collapse. In other words, get ready to flourish. Would you like to see Bienville Baptist Church flourish? Would you like to see us enlarge our tent to touch more lives with the love and grace of God? Extend the poles, Isaiah said, and strengthen the stakes. What are the stakes that need strengthening in order to enlarge our tent? The book of Acts tells us, like the early church, we must devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. First, we devote ourselves to Scripture. Like the Hebrew people, we are a listening people, listening to God and for God, in the Scriptures, through the Scriptures, even beyond the Scriptures, led by the Spirit of God. Then we devote ourselves to fellowship, to community, to a common life together. Christ has called us to be a community of friends, but community doesn't happen automatically. There must be a devotion, something to which we dedicate ourselves. Then we devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. Scholars have said there are two dimensions to this breaking of bread. First, there's the regular celebration of Holy Communion, likely taking place every week in the early church, breaking the bread and sharing the cup from the table of the Lord as a reminder of who we are and whose we are. And the second dimension pertains to the regular breaking of bread in meals together. And then there's a devotion to prayers. prayers together and prayers alone, prayers that keep the conversation with God alive, prayers of discernment and intercession, prayers of self-offering. Prayer is part of our ministry of love. It's one of the ways we drive the stakes deeper as a foundation of our life together. So we devote ourselves to Scripture, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we do it all with a fifth stake, with glad and generous hearts. They broke bread in their homes, Luke tells us, and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and offering grace to each other. The currency of the kingdom is generous giving. William Carey started special offerings for missions. Even if it were only a penny a week, all were called to give sacrificially. Perhaps you need to decide today, if you've not been giving, to begin. If it's just a dollar or whatever you have in your pockets, give to the work of God, because ministry that touches and changes people's lives often does not happen without generous giving. Giving of money always, but first and foremost, the giving of yourself. Diana Butler Bass is a wonderful scholar of the church in America. She did a major study of churches that were thriving to see what they were doing to make a difference in their communities. It seems these churches have taken these five stakes from the book of Acts: devotion to Scripture, fellowship, the table, prayer, and generosity, and embodied them into what Bass calls signposts of renewal. The first she mentions is that of hospitality, welcoming people, whoever they are and wherever they are in their journey of faith. Many churches say they welcome all people, but fewer mean it. Can we be a people open to all races, different theologies, economic classes, political preferences, and all the other differences that divide us, to be a witness for good and unity in a culture rapidly descending into tragic polarization? The radical welcome of hospitality. Number two that she mentioned was discernment. Being a place where people are actively seeking God's will and purpose, both as individual persons and together as a community of faith. A place where we help one another discern our gifts and our calling. Number three is healing. God wants for us all healing and wholeness. Jesus called his disciples not only to preach and teach, but also to heal. Bass found that many churches are becoming more interested in ministries of healing, the healing of body and mind and spirit. Number four was contemplation. Churches encouraging the kind of prayer called contemplation, where we silence our noisy minds and where the mind descends into the heart. Some prayer is talking to God. Some prayer is listening to God. And some prayer is just being with God in the silence. This third kind is contemplation. Thomas Merton said, "We expect too much from talking and too little from silence." The deep, silent prayer of contemplation. Number five was that of testimony. Bass called it talking the walk. We learn to talk about what God has done and is doing in our lives. Six, diversity. God delights in diversity. Why else would God have made such a world as ours? So we should delight in diversity too. This past fall, I posed the question, how much diversity can a church stand? It's my conviction that the church can stand all the diversity Christ brings to it if we're willing, if we will have it. Are we willing to open our hearts, our doors, our arms to all the diversity Christ brings? Number seven is justice. It's the most important theme of the biblical prophets and often the most neglected of the evangelical church. We're talking here of a willingness to go beyond charity and address the many forms of injustice in the systems of our nation and throughout the world, and engage in compassionate action for the voiceless and the powerless. Number eight, worship. Worship that is thoughtful, emotive, experiential, engaging both heart and mind. Worship that beholds the mystery of God. Worship born of amazement. Number nine is reflection. Learning how to think theologically. Asking often, what is God up to in this? Putting to rest the shallow pop theology of canned religion and thinking deeply about our faith, bringing our questions, wrestling with meaning. Theological reflection. And number 10 was beauty. One of the avenues of God into our lives is beauty. Like the elegant ancient beauty of this room. Like the flowers in our worship or in our yards. Like the beauty of instrumental and choral music. The beauty of hymns and songs. The beauty of children's voices. And the beauty of art as a way of experiencing God. So there they are. 10 signposts of renewal for the church. Hospitality, discernment, healing, contemplation, testimony, diversity, justice, worship, reflection, and beauty. But what is it about these congregations that led them to engage faithfully in these practices? Well, an additional, most recent study of thriving congregations found several common marks that enable them to thrive as faithful communities. These churches are rooted in Scripture. They know their mission and vision. They understand their community and the need for rest. They refuse to be stagnant. They reject a fear mentality. They're collaborative among themselves and with other churches and organizations. They're generous, flexible, forward-thinking, and willing to take risks. Sounds a lot like the early church to me as I read the book of Acts. Now, if you've been counting closely, you may realize I just gave you a 25-point sermon. Five signs of deep church, 10 signposts of resurrection, and 10 marks of thriving congregations. But I knew better than to begin the sermon by saying, I have 25 points I want to share with you this morning. Part of me wanted to do it just to see the look on your faces. But more than likely, I would have only seen the back of your heads as you found a reason to leave. My hope is not that you'll remember 25 points. But rather, as we celebrate this month our 135th anniversary as a congregation, I wanted to try to paint a collage of faithful practices within our imagination that can guide us into our next 135 years. And before you get overwhelmed, none of the churches in these studies were good at all of them. Nor can we be. But together, together these practices, these stakes and signposts can point us toward renewal and resurrection, inspired by the early church and the prophet Isaiah. Can we hear the ancient voices? Awake, awake, put on your strength, shake yourself from the dust, break forth in singing, fear not, enlarge your tent, raise the poles, lengthen the ropes, spread the fabric, and strengthen the stakes. Can we allow these stakes and signposts to guide us into a future of practicing resurrection? I think we can. With God's help, I think we can. It's up to us to figure out how.